What's up, everybody? Welcome on into Sports Talk this Tuesday, August 26th edition. The 53-man roster, the initial one set for the Saints, as well as a starting quarterback to help us talk about all things black and gold. We got the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, on the line. Bobby, how's it going today, man?
Good, yeah. This is always a hard day for coaches because, to develop relationships. And they always have one or two surprises. When you see a final roster, but it could still change. It's still fluid compared to when you're going to play the first game, and trades are made, and we just saw that they're trying to get depth in the line. Kind of snake bit. I think that's really affecting the team. Why they have to make a move with extra linemen with Landon Young being that swing tackle, and not being available. So.
Cannon, I know it's no surprise to you and a lot of folks the fact that Kellen Moore did come out and name the starting quarterback for the black and gold, and we're riding with the Rattler, Spencer Rattler, getting the nod.
Yeah, I thought that's the direction they would grow, go with, simply because, Spencer Rattler has played NFL games, and there's a lot of questions with this team right now, and I think if they can end up playing both of them, depending on what occurs. Now, Spencer Rattler's the man until he's not the man. What I mean by that, he's got an opportunity to play, but you got to win. And it's not going to be like, oh, you had a bad half or a bad game, we're going to replace you, for the next game. You might have to have a bad month, and then you go in a different direction. But I think they'd much rather, if they're both going to play, they'd much rather go with Spencer Rattler, then bring in Tyler Shuck, or the other way around, and Tyler Shuck's not necessarily getting it done, and then going to Spencer Rattler. I kind of thought that way, even after OTA's minicamp and the training camp, and it was close. It wasn't like, Spencer Rattler was way better than Shuck, or if Shuck would have been named the starter. No, it was a pretty even battle overall when you look at, they both made plays in the game and everything, but when you say surprises, I don't know what you were surprised at, but, you can see who's getting up on the practice squad. That's what you have to look at also
right
now, who they can develop. I think Fidel Diggs, I thought he caught our attention way more than Isaiah Foskey. The seventh round, he had a good camp, seventh round pick from Syracuse. And Isaiah Foskey, he didn't do anything, so that didn't surprise me. You never know when you have a veteran because, they've played in the league. They've been around Jonah Williams or Jonathan Bullard. They end up cutting Jonah Williams and the women, Jonathan Bullard. They both played for Brandon Staley, so, he's familiar with both those guys. I guess Rashid Shaheen might be running back punts for. I don't know if y'all think something different. I thought that was a little surprise not having Dante Pettis simply because when Rashid got hurt last year, I thought Dante Pettis did a fine job in the return game as a punt returner. I don't know. When you look at Velus Jones Jr., I think he's more kick returner than actual punt returner. Who are you going to trust to field the ball? Now, feel good story. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, we'd have wanted him.
Right.
Obviously, they'd be on the roster, but I don't know what direction they're going to go with him, the practice squad or another opportunity. Was competing in, at a high level and end up, not making it, and he was a veteran. Terrell Burgess, the safety. That was not a surprise, but if you'd have told me this, that at the beginning of camp, like a Terrell Burgess or who's going to work out, Julian Blackman. I saw Terrell Burgess has a great chance to make the team. But obviously, I think he's dealing with an injury, and that didn't work out. Amadi, that didn't surprise me, going with him more. It seems like his versatility and his being he's kind of a guy they'd want to also utilize on the blitz, depending with Alante Taylor. Now, he had a free ring to the quarterback last time. He didn't get him down. But, so it wasn't too many surprises, to tell you the truth. I thought, for instance, even though Nephi Sewell and DeMarco Jackson, they've been on the team, been outstanding special teams guys. I think Isaiah Stallberg was even better. So good to see. That's a great opportunity for him and Jalen Ford. You know, I think they're going to do, regardless, one of the best special teams teamers. And that was the thing with Jalen Ford. Even when they drafted him, he was coming out of the 2024 draft. He was considered an outstanding special teamer. So when you look at, like, surprises, it's hard to say. If you had practice every day, it's hard to say, like, whoa, I can't believe that guy didn't make it. Or that guy got cut.
For me, Bobby, the one surprise I was that made the roster was Cedric Wilson Jr. just after you acquired someone in, Devon Villay, thinking he could be that, blocker in the run game and also that bigger body target for you.
Yeah, that's another thing. But I think experience with Kellen Moore,
sure,
and that trust factor. You look, you think, oh, they might end up cutting him or end up on the practice squad. But I think his run blocking ability, and plus his previous time with Kellen Moore with Dallas. So I think that boded well for him in that regard. But Dante Pettis, were you surprised? Does this mean for the 49ers game that Rashid Shaheed's returning punts?
Like you mentioned there, just from the special teams aspect of things, unless you think you could put Velus Jones Jr. in there.
Well, I don't, but you can't. I mean, anybody can fumble, but we've never talked to him. We've talked to him more, even though he's played receiver. We've talked to him more as a kick returner, and in preseason had two outstanding, kick returns. When I'm talking about not taking it to the house, but
nice chunks,
35 plus yards, almost 40 yards, and I think with the depth in the interior line, that didn't surprise me. That they put Ridgeway on IR. I'm not saying he's not hurt, but that's one of those things, when you're trying to, how can we keep him? Because I think they really like Ridgeway, and they traded for him last year, and I think they want to still see more out of him. Traded for him with the Washington Commanders last year, but looking at Vernon Brown, I think obviously the draft choice, bright future. Christian Boyd, I think, played well, and they're really confident in him behind Godshaw, backing up. And he's made a couple of plays that, caught our attention. And I think that, like Stallberg, that's what you got to do. You got to get the coach's attention. And if you're on the back end trying to make the roster, the special teams coach has to go to bat for you. And I think Stallberg and Ford would be two perfect examples that with Coach Galliano, going to bat for them. Because DeMarco Jackson and Nephi Sewell, it wasn't their first or second year. They've been around. Now, it'll be interesting to see Rico Payton, because I thought he had outstanding camp last year. Remember, he made the team, but they waived him injured. That's kind of interesting development. Is that some kind of injury settlement that they paid him? Had a good camp, and then they plays in games and considering the tight end situation, Trayton Welch, he ended up getting cut. I think he would definitely be a practice squad guy that I could see them trying to develop. They kept the rookie tight end. I thought maybe it could be the blocking, but Molokai, the tight end, I thought Welch is a better receiving tight end than him.
Back with the QB canon, Tyler Shuck, his agent took to social media and said, quote, "I like the plan," and has two hands shaking. So it at least seems that both parties are okay. You don't want anybody's feelings to get hurt. I know we're all big boys now, but Tyler Shuck's agent tweeting out he likes the plan for the quarterback position right now with the Saints.
Well, as a quarterback, when you do get an opportunity, and I don't care who it is, whether it's Shedeur Sanders or whether it's Dylan Gabriel, you look at Cleveland. Okay, look at Flacco. Flacco's 40 years old. He ain't the future, but the future is now for the Browns, and that's who the guy. But what you have to do as a quarterback, what Tyler Shuck has to do, is that prepare like you're playing even though you're not playing. And who knows, Spencer Rattler gets injured, you're in the game, and you got to be up to speed. So you got to be a pro, and you got to study and how you prepare. So you got to prepare each week, and that you don't get discouraged, that even though you're not playing, you got to prepare like you're playing, and you got to be a pro. And that could be anyone that's kind of disappointed. I was fighting for the job. I thought I had a great chance. And that's why I even bring up, like, the Browns, because Dillon Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. Man, you can't go chill out now. You got to try and get better and impress the coaches, because you might be running the scout team. And even with Tyler Shuck, you're running the scout team. Well, lead the players around you and be on point and try and get better and better, because you're going to get an opportunity. He's going to get an opportunity. You just got to be ready for the opportunity to take advantage of it.
You know, Bobby, before we let you run, I wanted to ask you about the offensive line depth. We've seen all these injuries throughout the preseason and early on. Obviously, even before the preseason started, Saldivari goes down. He goes on the IR for the year. Landon Young gets hurt in the final preseason game. He's out for the year. Will Clapp gets hurt in the first preseason game. He's out for the year. And just get absolutely decimated. And that's not even mentioning the injury to, like, Trevor Penning. Now, he's only going to be out for a shorter period of time. It's not as severe as some of those other injuries. But I was looking at it, and obviously the Saints made the trade to bring in Luke Fortner, who's a backup center. They made the trade today as well with Dallas to bring in Awesome Richards, who's now your backup tackle because you just didn't have one after Landon Young got injured. And then Torricelli Simpkins making the final 53-man roster. I think that's a real fun story because the UDFA from South Carolina really kind of made a name for himself throughout the preseason after Clapp got injured. He comes into that Chargers game, plays all the snaps. He got praise from the coaching staff. It just feels like the depth behind, you know, the front five that the Saints have is kind of patchwork because of how many injuries you suffered early on. But the Saints made some moves to make sure that they at least had some bodies behind that starting five.
Oh, without a doubt, Charlie. Yeah, I should have mentioned that earlier. I'm glad you brought that up. No, that was the best feel-good story of camp, Simpkins. If you look how they impressed it, undrafted free agent, and look all the snaps he played. I mean, he was really like, you know, like playing full games. You know, in preseason, you might get like 2.5 quarters. But you look at the charges, when Will Clapp went down, he basically played, you know, the whole game. So that's a great feel-good story in Simpkins. And, yeah, you had to get a swing tackle. I think with Landon Young going down, we're just going to have luck with injuries with the offensive line. And when you think about it, even before we had any injuries, we were like, come on, they got to play great. They have to play a lot better than they've been playing. Alvin Kamara, I always say this, come on, he has a lot left in the tank, but you got to open up holes for him and give him an opportunity to get going. And then no matter who's the quarterback, they have to be able to block, and whether it's pass protecting or run blocking, it'll be interesting to see because he was outstanding. I think we read this at Pro Football Focus. Kelvin Banks was number one tackle, graded pass protection, but not so much run blocking. So that's something that he can work on. So, I think if we get off to a slow start, that being the Saints, I think because the offensive line is getting their butt kicked, that they need to be challenged. And I think if offensive line plays well, because I'm confident our D line will. If offensive line plays well, we have a fighting chance. That's what I truly believe. And if we do have a lot of adversity, I just think right now the team would rather have Spencer Rattler there to handle the adversity than Tyler Shuck. I was just saying this from a mental standpoint. Because when you look at Spencer Rattler, come on, he's already hadn't won an NFL game. He's 0-6, and he's just trying to get a win. So I think to him, he can handle that adversity and just keep fighting. And that's why I think it was a better, you know, route to take to go with him. But again, Spencer Rattler's going to need the offensive line to help him out, and so will the running game. And our receivers can't have all these, like, 3 or 4 drop passes in the game. Make contested catches, which you know you have the ability, but you got to actually do it in the game. So there's a lot of things that have to come together, and it's going to be a challenge. You might say, like, oh, I'm glad we're playing the Cardinals instead of the Bills or the Eagles the first game, or, you know, something like that, you know, the strength of schedule and all that. But the Cardinals play hard, and their D-line is going to get after our O-line, and you're going to see stuff that nobody game planned in preseason. You're going to see, like, you know, Spencer Rattler knows this. That's one thing also compared to Chuck. I mean, he's still seeing a little more game speed, regular season, how you turn it up. And they're going to dial up some blitzes trying to get after him and pardon the pun, but trying to rattle Spencer Rattler. and get him like, oh, I don't know where they're coming from. So there's a lot of things that have to come into play, but the Saints come away with a win. And it's going to be a challenge week one against the Cardinals.
Thanks for the time, Ken. Get Rose Rattler sound effects ready for game day September 7th.
Yes, the Saints need to get that on the big screen. Because
yeah.
they have to, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. If Rattler gets off and he's playing awesome, they got to have a rattlesnake with that Rattler rattling loud, and the fans can get all into it.
Steve's on, getting on it for our soundboard as well, Bobby, for the show. So we'll figure that out eventually.
Oh yeah, we got to get that. We got to be all on board with the Rattler now. I got you.
Who that, Cannon? Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, Bobby.
Who that? Okay, bye.
Bobby Aber, the Cajun Cannon, joining us there with his thoughts on the Saints' initial 53-man roster. Going to take a break here on Sports Talk. When we get back, you'll hear head coach Kellen Moore's thoughts right after this. Stay tuned on WWL Saints Radio. Welcome back into Sports Talk. You just heard the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Aber, break down the Saints' initial 53-man roster. Head coach Kellen Moore spoke today to the media after the roster cuts and also the main story, of course, the starting quarterback, Spencer Rattler being that guy. And here's what head coach Kellen Moore had to say.
You know, the quarterback competition is one that everyone's obviously kept a good eye on, healthy eye on the whole offseason. You know, it's a really good quarterback room. I love the group, love the young guys in there. I think they're all going to be great players. And so use the whole process, obviously, as everyone has felt. We've kind of gone through the whole process. I think that was an important part for these young guys is to go through the whole process. But just so we go through it, just so everyone, Spencer Rattler is our starting quarterback. Really, really excited for him. He's done an awesome job this offseason. So he's just been consistent. He's made some really good decisions throughout this whole entire process, and you know, his ability to make plays with his arm and his feet have certainly shown up. And so I'm really, really excited about Spencer. He's earned this opportunity. He's going to do a tremendous job for us. At the same time, we're really, really fortunate. We got Tyler. Love the development that he's had over the course of this entire offseason. He's done a number of things for the first time in his career, you know, just navigating that. And I think that's an important aspect when you're a younger quarterback, to let the whole process play itself out. I thought he capped it off with just an excellent performance against Denver on the last preseason game. I thought he did a really, really good job. And so I'm a big believer in just the importance of developing quarterbacks, developing them the right way. There's a process for both of these guys. Give them the space to develop, and we think we got two guys that are going to have great careers for us. And so, you know, obviously, we're excited about this process. It's never easy. They made it really, really hard because they were very, very close. But you know, we're excited for Spence, and you know, Tyler's in a great position to continue to develop. And you know, we feel like we got some depth in that room, which is really valuable for this league.
With Spencer, when did it kind of come clear to you that what separated them ultimately?
Just consistency. You know, I think, you know, consistency. I thought he did some really good things. Certainly the last couple weeks of practice, I thought he had just consistent performances day in and day out. You know, I think his decision making, he's taken a really awesome step there. He's making really good decisions with the football. He's an aggressive player, and that's one of his superpowers, but he's done a really good job of balancing that out and making really good decisions with the football. Felt like he checked it off with the last preseason game. I thought he had a really, really good week that entire week. We were out over at the Dome for that practice on a Wednesday night, and I thought he did an excellent job and carried that through right into Denver. And so, you know, we feel like, you know, he put himself in a position to have a successful start. He's going to give us a heck of a chance to compete and go win some games.
When you entered this competition, did you have an idea of, you know, how much, I guess, each aspect of it would count overall? Like, were you weighing, like, preseason games and how they perform in that? That counts for so much. Practice counts, or did it kind of...
You're trying to collect as many data points and reference points as you can. Certainly preseason games, you know, there's a healthy weight there compared to practices, but we got so many practices. And I think as training camp went on, when we got into more of those situations where we got into call it situations, tried to create as many game-like settings as we could. You know, I thought both these guys did a really good job. There's nothing easy about this decision. I think the big thing is Spencer's a starter. We're supporting him. He's going to go lead this thing. Tyler's going to keep developing, you know, and I think we're in a great position.
Were you kind of ready to almost make this decision after the Jaguars game? Or, like, what was that process like? After the Jaguars game, you have such a big moment, but you want to give more time, right? How did you kind of negotiate that?
Yeah, certainly – his end of the Jacksonville game was an awesome opportunity for him. I thought he did an excellent job. He brought the team back and did a really good job there. We felt like we had one more excellent week where, you know, when you have three practices, we had a lot of game situations within those practices. I know, you know, most people don't get to see those. We get to see them, obviously, and evaluate them. And then you cap it off with the game. And so, you know, I felt like he performed through that through the last 7 to 10 days really well.
Don't kind of emphasize the operation for the quarterbacks and wanting to see them get the offense running the way you want it to run. So, like, what do you see in Spencer in that regard specifically?
I think both of these guys are heading in the right direction. They've done a nice job. I think Spence has done a really good job of leading the charge as far as you know, operating the offense, making really good decisions, playing really clean football. I think that's an important aspect of this thing. And so, you know, he's done some really good things.
What do you feel like Tyler's development needs to go from here? What's kind of maybe the thing holding him back right now?
No, I'm just really excited about Tyler's development. I think he's done a really, really good job. Again, I very much value the developmental process of quarterbacks in this league, and I think it's really important that you know, he just keeps growing. You know, I think for him, it's the first time in a number of situations, maybe a number of different things that he's being asked to do, and growth comes with more time. And so I'm excited for him to just become more consistent as you go through that. That's a very natural process, and you know, keep making really good decisions. And, you know, I think the game, the more he's around it, the game's going to slow down for him, and he's just going to be set up really well.
Kyle, is this a situation that you said that last week you rallied behind him to the good and the bad, and you just stay with him? You said throw interceptions, we're going to rally behind him.
Yeah, guys, I think that's the important thing, guys. We're not getting in this QB debate throughout this season. Spence, our starting quarterback. Tyler's going to keep developing. You know, quarterbacks, you need a couple quarterbacks in seasons. These are long NFL seasons. And so, you know, I think we do value that we have depth there, and we'll have to navigate the rest of it as we go. But, yes, we're really excited about Spence. He's going to do an awesome job for us.
Saints head coach Kellen Moore talking about quarterback depth there. And after Spence Rattler, right now you got Tyler Shough after Jake Haener was let go. We'll see if he ends up coming back to the practice squad. Maybe someone also still in the mix, a Hunter Deckers. And then whoever else, you know, people talking about veteran, you know, signal callers, depending on who's available, maybe the Saints do go that route.
Yeah, only two quarterbacks on the 53-man roster. Right. As Bobby had mentioned, it's fluid. It can change. But a vote of confidence from Kellen Moore to his starter in Spencer Rattler and saying that he's your guy. Like, you're going to roll with Spencer Rattler. This isn't going to be like, you know, when Jake Haener got his start last year and he had a really bad yanked first half and gets yanked in the second half. It's not that type of situation. They're going to give the runway for Spencer Rattler and see what he can do. And, you know, when we talked with Spencer in the 4 o'clock hour, Steve, he talked about how much that meant to him, that Kellen's really backing him as his guy in his first year as a head coach. So,
yeah, nobody wants a thing. If you mess up, there's Tyler just waiting.
Yeah, like kind of knocking on the door. You got to keep your, you know, eyes on the back of your head, so to speak. I think that Kellen giving Spencer that vote of confidence is a huge part of this as well.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk. Reminded everybody to shout out Magazine Pizza for feeding our Saints game day crew. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine. Dine-in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pasta, sandwiches, wings, and salads. Just go to magazinepizza.com. Taking a break on Sports Talk. We shall return right after this on WWL. Folks, you still have a chance to win a portable generator. You're now in the heart of hurricane season. We know everybody worries about losing power. WWL wants to help ease your mind, so we've teamed up with Craig's Electrical and Generator Service, offering you the chance to win a portable generator. We're talking about a Generac GP6500 portable generator. Total value, almost $1,000. You can enter once every day, so start now. Go to WWL.com/contest for your chance to win backup power from Craig's Electrical and Generator Service, because when the power goes off, Craig's comes on. And WWL, Louisiana's official management station. Looking at the roster cuts, Charlie, was there anything I would say that jumped out to you from the initial 53-man roster? For me, it's just I'm thinking the team still needs to scour the rest of the waiver wires and maybe trade options for the tight end position, offensive line, and even corner.
Right. In the offensive line spot, they made the trade for Awesome Richards today with the Dallas Cowboys. That was a weird trade because it's basically a late round pick swap 3 years from now, the 2028 draft, where the Saints traded a 2028 sixth round pick to Dallas.
Yeah.
And then they got back Richards and then a 2028 seventh round pick. So, it like I joked with Mike earlier, it almost feels like a fake trade. But at the same time, it was kind of necessary. You needed to get an offensive tackle because Landon Young's injury, he's now on the IR, he's done for the year, and you're looking at who's your backup tackle at this point. They didn't really have one. So you go out and get Richards, you know, so offensive line is still something that they can probably address, Steve. Other kind of surprises, I think Fadil Diggs getting waived was maybe the most shocking one for me. Because a seventh-round pick did make this roster, but it was the tight end and Maliki Matavau.
I guess they're feeling Diggs they can sneak into that practice squad area.
You hope so, right? Because he's shown some flashes throughout the preseason, and you feel really good about him as a potential contributor at that seventh-round pick. So hopefully, as you mentioned, Steve, they can squeeze him onto the practice squad. We'll have more information on that later on. But that was the number one shocker. I kind of agree with Bobby. I don't think there were too many surprises, really, on that initial 53, Steve.
Yeah, the other surprise is the punter position right now. I don't think anybody expected Kai Kroger to be in this spot, but we'll see if he ends up remaining the Saints punter or they end up, you know, scouring, like I said, that waiver wire or making a trade. I don't know if you're making a trade for a punter, though.
So that was what's interesting is that earlier I had seen this, that Adam Schefter had reported that they were looking to potentially make a swing for a punter on a trade. It's Corliss
with the Steelers, right?
Corliss Waitman, who won the Steelers punter job, had apparently the Saints inquired about trading for him via Adam Schefter from ESPN, and then the Steelers made their decision to stick with him. So apparently, I don't know how sold they are on Kai Kroger, if they were in the market for potentially adding a punter via trade, but Pittsburgh decided to stick with Waitman, and now the Saints are going to be sticking with Kroger.
I'll echo whatever the Who Dat Nation has said out there, Charlie. You should have brought back Morstead.
It's been a revolving door at that punter spot since Morstead's been gone. So I agree with you, Steve, but it's, you know, we'll see what Kroger can do this year. I think it, unless he really kind of shines, you might be looking at a fifth straight year with a brand new punter. I don't know, man. We'll see.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk. When we return, we'll get into the Saints Hour. Mike Haas and Jeff Nowak will have your attention, talking about roster cuts, getting to some sound from the locker room as well. Taking a break right now. We'll be back with more on WWL Saints Radio after this. Folks, remembering Katrina 20 years later will certainly tug at your heart, but most likely you'll appreciate the resilience of the people of the greater New Orleans area and the Gulf South. All week long, join us on WWL presenting Katrina 20 years later, the rebirth of one of America's most beloved cities. Listen for special news stories, plus Katrina interviews on our shows, Tommy Newell, Scoot, and Sports Talk. Plus check out the untold stories never heard before by firsthand witnesses, Newell, Bobby, Deuce, Garland Robinette, and many more. We'll add more all week long, powered by Entergy and WWL. We're going to power some more Saints coverage coming up right after this. The voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, and Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak with the Saints Hour here on WWL, the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.